Loud and clear now. Oh, hi.
Hello.
I guess.
Feels like I've had an entire life since we last talked for some reason.
Yep. It's UMC week, baby.
Yeah. Yes.
How is your box of white liquid?
Excuse me. The YCM. I did it again. The UCM. UMC. This is going to happen forever. The 5-axis Haas was officially installed yesterday after, unfortunately, I don't know how else to say this, a shit show of Haas not able to give the transfer code to Cellwave, or I don't know whose exact fault it was, but they came on Friday last week because it changed states, and seemingly because of some regulation with government things, that it moved between California and Oregon on the 3rd of October. They couldn't come and activate it on the 17th of October because nobody had requested the transfer yet, seemingly. Couldn't happen the same day, so they left. They hadn't gotten the code until Wednesday, the 22nd. I've heard over and over from people on Instagram that this doesn't seem to be uncommon, which is just mind-blowing to me. I was really perturbed by it. It was just so much time had passed since the machine moved that nobody had done anything about it. And that's been my scenario since we last talked.
Frustrating.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's online now. So now what?
Yeah. Jogging it
getting
around
it
and cleaning. They cut a decent amount of brass and it kind of got stuck everywhere and oxidized. That's kind of bluish green.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been scrubbing that off in our cleaning serum of coolant that's low coolant. Today we need to change that out for real coolant. I'm not sure how long that's going to last because I know it's not going to be clean.
Sure. So take a
it
few
takes a lot
flush
of time.
Outs. Get there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of, we don't have like a great way to make mixed coolant. We'd make it in a 5-gallon bucket with a paint mixer.
How have you like networked the machine? Like are you connected to it? Have you posted anything to it? Done any of that stuff?
The tech installed it left maybe 2 p.m. yesterday.
Okay.
Ricky was out. So I spent the rest of the afternoon basically just like, it was kind of fun just to jog it around. It's pretty fantastic just to get the table to do a little, you know, what is it, B90 or whatever that is. It's either B or C. I can never keep track of which one's which yet, but make the table turn sideways. And it's so good to be able to clean underneath the table like that. When you have a big fixed 3-axis table, you can jog it back and forth, but you really can't get underneath it very well. And the 5-axis, you're just like, whoop. And then I'm like, scrubbing underneath, and I did get it. It does have Wi-Fi built in. What technology today? Let's see. Two things that are maybe the most ridiculous about it so far. Luckily, this was no extra cost to me. There's $1,000 add-on to add a Wi-Fi camera. It is junk. Like it's just bad. I would have been
1080p.
Pissed if I would have paid for it.
It does have that option in it, right? Okay.
Yeah, it's in it. It's a third party app. I need to move the camera, but it's just not useful, really. The other thing is, strangely, a YCM perk is it has a separate. I didn't really think about this until we got the new machine. It has a separate pump for just the spray gun that you can like clean out the machine with.
Mm-hmm.
And the Haas comes, some machines don't come with a spray gun at all, which is kind of mind-blowing to me. It comes with one. It's a garden hose sprayer, super low pressure, and you have to have the flood coolant on to be using it. So if you want to open the door, you're basically getting like flooded. So I don't understand the point of it at all. Like, I mean, we'll probably figure out something, but like, basically like sticking my arm in behind and trying to like lightly piddle on things.
So now I'm getting mixed up with the acronyms. Your YCM had a separate like spray, psh, psh, like coolant hose down.
It,
thing.
It's a separate pump so that the flood coolant doesn't have to be on.
Yeah, nice.
And that I never like grokked that was a thing. So I'm sure we could figure out a way to like do that on our own. It's fun. It's the control feels like I've just gotten a brand new computer that's got all the technology, even though I'm sure if you put it up against like Siemens or Heidenheim, it's probably nothing, but like it has some safety to it where when you're jogging the machine, the table or the, you know, the spindle around, it's got safe planes. So it literally stops itself from like jogging into itself, even when the table's turned, which is kind of great. And obviously it's like bald at this point. So there's no work holding on it yet. Or,
yeah,
I think I have a probe and one tool in it currently. So it keeps track of how much coolant's in the tank, which is nice. Crazy. It's got a little, it's like a gas meter basically. It's like tells you how much is in there, which is great. Anyway. Aww.
I expect chips by next recording.
It's been a bit chaotic here. Dylan helped me a little bit try to wrap my mind around programming it yesterday, but mapping that, like you're saying, like we talked about with like a digital twin to like the work holding and Bill Mestenhauser.
That's right.
Yeah. Did a talk at AU 2024, which I'd saved for prison, saved for when I get a UMC, and I watched it this weekend, and it is just melting my brain. Like it's like it's super smart in the way it's like linked files so that you can replace components of your work holding, so like different vices, different risers, and have them not break. And be able to keep that all inside of a template file that has all of your container of like programming and pre-selected stuff so that you can basically just drop a part file in and generate, but also swap out your work holding really smartly. And there's a bunch of like jointed associations between files that are basically like imaginary. It's like melting my brain. That's how they heal, is because they're looking for the name of a joint.
Cool. Is this video available for us plebs?
Yeah.
I don't have a use case, but I'm curious about
it's
Fusion Cam.
On a Autodesk's like bad player, but it's public.
Cool.
Sorry, that was a lot of rambling. What's up with you?
No, that's great. I'm excited for you.
Thanks.
What's up with me? I don't know. I've been noodling around. I had my first day yesterday where I was stressed in a long time, quite a while. Like I had like a, sometimes when I get stressed I feel like I've been slapped across the face, like I get this kind of like hot sunburnt feeling in my face, and that reappeared yesterday. And I think I'd spent the whole afternoon doing like ATO compliance, so like taxation compliance stuff, work cover insurance compliance reporting stuff. And it's all that kind of like stuff that I only do once a year. And I'm not that familiar with it because Sarah, my old business manager, did it prior to that for the 8 years prior to that.
Yeah.
And so it's tasks that don't happen very often. They're kind of high stakes, as in you don't want to stuff them up.
Yep.
And so by the end of the afternoon, my brain was just so cooked and I felt like really stressed about the whole thing. Plus FedEx, this was sort of panning out yesterday with a FedEx had like trashed a high value consignment. That they were saying it wasn't being delivered because the customer had asked it for not to be delivered for another week. And the customer was like, I did not request that. No one requested
that.
And I was like, okay, someone's dropped it off the back of a truck and they've just put it in the corner of the warehouse and they don't know what to do with it. And so they've just made up some BS excuse. Anyway, sure enough, it finally got delivered yesterday a week late and then it was pretty trashed. So that was kind of playing out yesterday as well. So end of the day, I was just like, oh, Nint, I want to do something else. I want to do something fun, break out of this little hole, but otherwise, that was really a blip, because otherwise we're having a pretty good time. Sales are, like, super good at the moment. The best patch of sales in the long term.
Yeah, awesome.
And yeah, cash flow's good, sales are good. Got a little bit of robot time this week. Getting closer to sort of full pick and place shelf sanding. It's a good week. Good week, generally speaking. Other than that little blip. And yeah.
I can definitely relate to that stressed feeling. I've been pretty stressed last couple months, last 6 weeks with finances related to the UMC for sure. Just like a lot of outgoing money.
Yeah.
A lot of like, it's just my joke is it's like everybody wants $1,000 suddenly. Like the estimates for getting the machine here. And I just keep thinking like, oh, I've made it, you know, now I just got to build back up my savings of, you know, some of these accounts for Profit First and then nope. But luckily, similarly, our sales have also been good. And we've been doing some job shop work. I've kind of prioritized a little bit more effort towards quoting some jobs, and we've had some decent ones come in. So, so do you think you're, did you finish up your like stressful stuff then, or is it like still to be done?
Yeah, no, I ticked off all that sort of compliance stuff that had been, some of it was late and some of it was just due now today. So that's all kind of off my plate for now, which is nice.
Nice.
Back to regular programming next week. And it's kind of nice because it's one of those weeks where I'm ending the week having got like 2 weeks in a row now, sort of I've ended. By the time I'm talking to you on Friday morning, I'm like well ahead in terms of my weekly cash target. It's like, cool. Next week's easy. I can close out a few more little quotes or sales or weekend web sales over the weekend and we'll be sweet. So I can focus on some more fun stuff early next week, hopefully.
Great.
Finish these sanding paths. And I got got my fang clamps in the mail. It's exciting. Haven't had a chance to do anything with them yet.
I'm waiting for people to start using them.
Yeah.
I think that's like, it's cool to see a few people have posted. I appreciate the video you made. And, you know, they're fun. We have some more being finished up this week. We've kind of ran out of stock of them pretty quick.
Nice.
But I'm excited and still a little nervous to like see people's reaction to how well they're. Hopefully, I mean, I assume they're going to work well. They work well for us, but, you know, people use things in their own way.
Yeah. No, I'm keen to try. John's been trying to do like a little bit of robot time every week to keep his sort of R&D happening as well. And he machined his first like multi-axis like furniture tenon on an angle, seated into another piece yesterday. So that was a bit of a milestone. So I reckon he'll probably use them before I do because he's playing with the sort of the multi-axis like machining side of things more so. I'm focused on the sanding with the other two robots. So, yeah. And
I'd pass along. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
I just pass along and I probably should make more videos about like best practices with them. They work. It's probably obvious, but they work the best when you're like perpendicular to their bite. If you're putting a lot of pressure, you know, like where they would want to twist, it's going to potentially like move them. But realistically, they're pretty rigid. But like if you're going against, just like any work holding, right? If you're going into the way that they're forcing, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
They're stronger that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Another little video wouldn't go astray just for some tips on like setup and orientation and stuff. I mean, I'll work it out, but like, yeah, it'd be cool. And it's funny that baby pants you sent us in the same package, that Dust Hood pulled out, it disappeared immediately. Like John must have come into the office and saw it. I was like, ooh, fresh one. Went and finally like mounted it on a machine and was very happy with it. And we were both sort of marveling at the build quality and how nice it is these days.
That's good. But then compared to the glue that didn't work,
Rowan spotted the sticker, the PDX sticker, and it was like, he's like, next time you order something from Justin, can you ask him for one of those baby pants stickers? Because my son, like his 4 year old son, he said,
that's cute.
He's obsessed with baby pants. He talks about it like almost every week.
Just in general, or the dust?
Yeah, in general. No, in general.
I don't even know. It's hilarious and adorable. I don't know what to say about it. Yes,
you've got to make a fan.
I think I actually got a way to send really cheap stickers. Sticker. You say Rowan?
Yeah, Rowan's kid.
Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah, very
I've
cool.
been trying to show my son different parts, like trying to foster without being forceful, like, hey, daddy's got this new machine at work. It's really cool. And I like had a video of it like turning the trunnion, and he kind of like already knows to like almost lie to me, like he's just gonna be too soon. He's like, oh, you know, like even though it's like, you know, you show up anybody else and they're just like, what does it do, why does it turn? Right. You know, like it's not exciting at this point.
And awesome. Now we owe Eric some mm-hmm. content on mm-hmm. the Profit First, on his Profit First question. So we got.
And now it's profit time.
Yeah, let's start with Eric's question so we don't lose it. Mm. But Eric Larson sent us a video like a month ago now, probably, which was good. And I think I have other friends that have asked me similar questions. I think if I had to summarize, Eric's question was, from listening to us, he has also found some interest and desire to start a profit first like attempt. And I think it makes a ton of sense that the holdup is like, do you go full on? And some of that struggle is like having a kind of traditional bank that doesn't let you maybe have all the accounts, or not knowing what accounts to set up, or like the ratios and the percentages. It's kind of a lot. And so he started with just doing, as far as I remember, it was saving 10% in one or two categories of all of his money that came in. Was that right?
Yeah, it's pulling a little bit aside. Simple, just, yeah.
Yeah. Said it was really helpful already, and then was like, do I just leave it at this, or do I go full in? Like, what are the real benefits? Like, and I think maybe some of the question I'm reading into is like, is it possible to do a ramp up, or do you just rip the Band-Aid off and like kind of what we did, where it's like everything started over, you know, like we're starting fresh and
yeah.
So I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, look, I think I kind of dived in pretty hard. Like, I was, you know, the context was a crisis context basically for me. So I was like, right, we're rejigging everything. You know, it was part of the downsize and the making people redundant, which was shit. And like, it was all wrapped up in that situation for me. And so I went in pretty hard, like, and I read the book twice in a couple of weeks and restructured, got new bank accounts and restructured heaps of stuff very quickly, which I don't know is really very feasible for someone to just jump in and go that hard straight off, maybe. Or it's daunting. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But I think...
I did the same, though.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the system is pretty simple. Like, you have a revenue account, you don't touch it, and you make some extra accounts, and, you know, ours are, we've got some extra ones now, but we started with basically a profit account, OPEX, so operational expenditure, we separated materials and freight into another account, because OPEX is kind of a time-based account, so OPEX is kind of like every week, OPEX is relatively consistent. Whereas materials and freight are relative to income. So if you have a great week of sales, a higher proportion of that, or like a proportion of that is going to be go towards materials. So that needs to be more of a variable percentage. So we've fiddled with it. Like, but initially I just started with the, you know, the recommendations from the book, basically just basic sort of settings. And I never, there's a lot of talk in the book about, what is it, caps and taps? Like, I kind of remember what it means. And it, like,
I still have to like think through it. It's targeted allocation percentage.
Percentage.
What is the other one? I don't even remember.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think let's forget that. And if I had to jump into that part.
I ignored that.
The thing I took from it, and I was thinking as you were talking about it, is I think it's absolutely worth doing slowly. You know, if it's daunting to get into it fully, there's so much value in this, I'm going to keep calling it what it is, faking myself to think I don't have money. And
totally.
And I wouldn't have been able to do the UMC purchase if I hadn't done this for a year. Like, there's just no chance. Yep. I wouldn't have had the money put aside. I wouldn't have had money saved for my insurance. It would have all been in a different lie to myself, a big slush fund account where I thought I had enough money, and I would have been really stressed out because I would have maybe tried it and been in trouble. So I was thinking about, if you've read any of the Fast Cap guy, Paul Akers, the 2-second lean concept of just like, if you're afraid of lean fully, there's a lot of value in just doing 2-second improvements, as he calls them, which is kind of a lie also, but like, you know, 2-second lean, your profit first, right? Like do what Eric's doing. I think the goal of it and what I try to do is constantly improve it, right? I'm always trying to save a little more from going to OpEx and trying to, like what I did in the last, what has it been, 3 weeks now, is I fully restructured a lot of it. My percentages really changed.
Yeah, and right.
This all came from dumping all my stuff and all my history into a Sim Theory assistant, which this is going to sound complicated, but it made it really simple for me, as I was like, I have to have this much money for this debt payment for the UMC. I have this lease. I have all these things. You know, I want you to research and be an expert on profit first. And here's my bank accounts. Help me solve this problem. And it restructured all of my percentages so that the other big perk is Mercury now allows weekly transfers or distributions. So I made it Fridays. That's making it feel even less stressful, because now I'm building up, you know, over, like, similar to you, I think, right? It's like, I'm not hoping that every 2 weeks I have enough for payroll. I split payroll into its own account, separate from lease. And that's also helped, that it's just different ways to make the money be in the right place when you need it. And then not accidentally spend too much money on a new tool or something you don't need, basically, is kind of what I end up doing. I used to do more often.
Me too.
That's long, but
Yeah. I was just looking back through my mess of a spreadsheet, which is the same spreadsheet I started with in that week when I was stuck at home with COVID trying to sort of work out how to save the business. And I think basically my approach was I went into zero and I exported some P&Ls, like some financial data. And then I stuck that in a Google sheet. I was like, right, just started adding columns. I was like, cool. This is our revenue, cool, whatever. These are expenses that are associated with producing a job, like materials, paint, freight. And these are all our fixed costs. And I just lumped all those together into those separate categories. This is payroll, this is tax, whatever. And then calculated those as percentages relative to our revenue, like pretty simple stuff. I'm just like, cool, this is where we're at now. And then I did a version of that where I sort of culled things. Let's ignore that for now, because that was kind of my downsizing stuff. So just came up with those simple values and then took those percentages and then just applied them to the revenue that I made every week. And that was my split out. And I haven't really touched it. Like you've said, you've changed it a lot recently. I've fiddled with it once a year. But really, I just jumped into those percentages and have barely, I've made some minor adjustments since, but I've barely sort of fiddled with the sort of the formula at all. And it's just, you know, it's been a credit really in a big part to saving the business. Mm-hmm. And yeah, creating that false sense of scarcity of like, no, there is no cash left in the OPEX account. I've paid those bills. It's a few hundred bucks left in there. Like, it's funny how low the accounts often sit. It's like materials is bare. You know, I had a great week of sales last week, but like there's no money in the OPEX account this week. And it's like, until I do distribution next week, then they'll top up again. Yep. And like, then I'll pay next week's bills. So it's just, it's really effective for me, how my brain works. And I think it is, it is quite a simple thing of just sort of, and you know, you don't have to get those percentages right. Like, I'm constantly like stealing from other accounts because my percentages aren't quite right. It's like, oh, there's not quite enough in payroll. Oh, that's because I haven't adjusted the percentage. Whatever, I'm not going to bother. I'll just take another $500 from OPEX because there's a bit of extra money there, which I know is not by the book, but is working for me just fine, just with those minor adjustments.
I mean, the easy answer to why I've changed things is I was very aware by the time I restructured stuff a couple weeks ago that where I had gotten to was the OPEX was a new slush fund account. Too much credit cards paying out of it. I was pulling payroll out of it. It became too hard to... I mean, a lot of this is just literally... I'm not good at making a budget, so this is kind of like budgeting in a certain way. It's like, it's maybe reverse budgeting almost. Where if you can keep yourself to a budget and like not spend over that, amazing. But I don't feel like a lot of small business owners are good at doing that. And the way this helps me is past Justin has saved money for a certain purpose. And the slush fund, the one checking account that almost all business owners have and spend all their money out of it, for me, just was a big failure point. Like, and that's what OPEX turned into be. So then I was like, part of what was helpful is these amazing LLMs are like, all right, I can take all this data and understand this context and go, yes, you should split out and make another account and make, you know, this one profit, this one lease, here's your percentages. And I go back and forth with it and go, well, I don't think that's going to get me enough money for this. And now I've gone from basically where I started was OPEX was like 78 or 82% of my distribution, which you can see there going to be a problem, right? Like, it took me a long time, and I was trying to slowly shrink it down. That's one thing. What's his name? Mike recommends.
Mike McCullitz.
To start somewhere and shrink or grow percentages based on what your goals, the targeted allocations you're trying to get to, which. I think he talks about, you know, if you're a small business, you should put 50% of your revenue after you've taken out your direct costs as your pay as the business owner, which is just like laughable to me. but, you know, if that's the goal, like that's a great goal. It's like you made the business. Shouldn't it be to pay yourself? And so one of the ways that I have increased my pay a lot because of that, increasing the percentages, but also saving the profit as I take 50% of that profit every month, I pay some debt and I pay myself a bonus. And it is so welcome to have that come every quarter of like, I feel like a little corporate like stooge going to my wife and going, hey, guess who gets a bonus this month? You know, like.
Yeah. Like it's been so effective for us as a means to pay down debt. Like we've for the last... How long's it been now? I'm starting to lose track of time. Is it? It's not 2 years yet, is it? It's 18 months, ish, year and a half, roughly.
I have it tracked somewhere.
Pretty much everything that's been allocated to the profit account has gone straight to debt reduction. Mm-hmm. And that's been super effective at just like consistently chipping away at it. And that was debt that was accrued pre-downsize. And, you know, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel where, you know, in a few years, we will have paid that off and that profit will just be profit.
Is that
to sort of build up a business reserve account, but also actually pay ourselves some profit.
Is that expediting your payoff of the loan?
Oh, yeah.
Or the debt, sorry?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, there's other ways to do that, but I don't know. It's just always for me, it's like, that was not a thing. We did it personally to like pay off car loans. We would put a little extra each month into the car loan if we could, $50 or something. But it's just another way that's like a structured method. And I mean, if you're taking the namesake, which I mocked my friend when he first brought it up, I was like, I could never do that. I don't even know how much money I'm going to need this month. Like, I could never pay myself or save profit. And I guess the thing that makes it work is that if you honestly just try it. Like, I don't, it's a stupid way of saying it, but it's like, if you don't try it, you don't know if it can work, because the assumption is that it's like too lofty and too ideological. But the reality is like, it makes you so much more aware of the money's movement, and in the end, suddenly you've kind of tricked yourself into like, oh, I have 5 or 10% here that's just for me, and I did that through $200 or $500 transfers every week, you know, like.
Yeah, some of the biggest wins for me are just like, you know, we pay $20,000 a year or something in insurance. When that bill rolls around in September, when it did recently, there was like $18,000 in an account for those bills. And it was just like, damn, that was easy. Hadn't, you know, it had just quietly accumulated throughout the year. Just trust the system. Just keep paying out the percentages. Know that it might not be quite right. Nah. Never.
Yeah.
Nah, nice. I've scared myself into never stealing from, like, the insurance account or the tax and superannuation accounts. Like, they're just, like, totally untouchable to me. I'll steal from materials. I'll steal from OPEX. They're much more sort of flowy, dynamic. Right. I'll steal from, it feels crap, but sometimes I'll steal from the profit account if I have to. So, yeah, that's the biggest win. Dealing with those chunky annual expenses has been a massive win. Like tax coming around every 3 months where we pay our Paygee or whatever, and superannuation. And it's like, that's just sitting there ready to go. And the other thing that I find really useful is just like, you know, I'm looking at my percentages now and I can see that materials and freight is my biggest percentage at 31%, and that makes me go, cool, what can I do about that? Like, do I need to, what can I do about that? Can I try and renegotiate pricing on my materials? Can I look at alternatives? I give FedEx the finger and go elsewhere? It just gives you so much simple transparency. So, like, in the past, we tried to do this sort of financial analysis in Xero. And Xero's kind of, as he calls it, like, funny money. Like, traditional accounting does weird stuff in terms of how it tries to account for this stuff. And it's been so refreshing to just do it all on a cash basis, real money. What's in the account? What's actually going out, coming in? No, like, balance sheets, nonsense. Like, I feel like all of that stuff just lied to me for years and got us in a pretty deep hole.
I've never found it useful. Like, it's just, I tried to get into budgeting. We talked about that at one point. And it just, I mean, especially when we were doing job shop work, that was so all over the place. It was like, well, suddenly I have a giant material bill, you know, this month for buying material for CNC jobs, and then the next month it wouldn't be there. And it's like, I can't even average it, you know, like, there's no use to it.
Yeah, the other thing that I've sort of been toying with lately in terms of minor changes is I've been running a weekly distribution cycle for a long time now. And just kind of by accident, a few times in the last couple of months, I've pushed that to a fortnightly cycle just because something's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've been really under in the first week. I'm like, there's no point doing distribution now because the percentages don't really work. So I'll just, you know, I'll push it to a fortnight and I'll, you know, I'll push harder on sales next week. But generally speaking, weekly distribution's been really effective for me to keep me on track and just pushing. Push was like, cool, I got to make sure there's 20-something grand in the account by Wednesday night every week. And like, that's stressful and to some extent and kind of exhausting in that hustle. But it's been so effective at me keeping the business on track. But I've had a taste of a fortnightly cycle a little bit a couple of times. I'm like, oh, this is kind of nice. Like, it's kind of novel and fun being able to distribute twice the amount of cash at the end of a fortnight. But also it just gives me a little bit more flexibility throughout the week to be mm-hmm. like, cool, that money's not coming in this week, but I know it's going to clear by Monday. So that can still go into this distribution cycle. Cool.
I would, after changing from fortnights to weekly, I would caution against it for the sake of I was thinking about you having to think about it every week. You have to think about it every week for two reasons. That's good and bad, right? Like, it makes you take the time to do it, but that means that you're like way more targeted than I would argue that, like, this just from what you said, where you got into trouble was you had these targets that were like annual before and you had monthly, no way to like changes on that, you know, like it was too far out. Whereas now you're like, oh, I need to close that sale, but you know, try it, I suppose. But I am finding so much like so much less stress in, because I, you know, through a week, 2 weeks, I can just forget totally about targets or like that I need to like think about sales or pay this bill. And I think the other thing I would say, and yours is working really good for you, but if you're going to start, I highly recommend the Mercury Bank has been really awesome. And there's others like it. I think he recommends one in the book. I didn't quite like it as much. And they're free, but like as many accounts as I want, and I can just make them on demand or delete them on demand.
So
and
good.
Free transfers and stuff like that, like wire transfers to receive and send as many credit cards and debit cards, and that it does it automatically is so good for me personally. Like, I'm still keeping track of it. I put it into a spreadsheet, which is how I kind of process what's happened and think about where the money needs to go. But that it just does it on Friday mornings is, that was the problem for me, is like that I didn't have to like go do it. Because that's where a failure point would be for me, is I would, this would all fall away if I was like, Fridays, I don't know, man, I got to pick up my kid and like, I just didn't get to it. And then what, you know, like bills don't get paid.
Yeah. I really enjoyed being super hands-on for the first year of like, I wanted to do the distribution. I still kind of enjoy it. It's very fast. Like, I'll do it in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I still enjoy that sort of manual touch of it every week of like, I see it and I feel it. It's like, oh shit, OPEX is lean this week because I didn't hit target. It's like, that's annoying. And then I feel the effect of that when I'm trying to pay bills. So it's like, it's been so good for me having that real hands-on of like, helps push me harder. It's like, no, that was annoying not having enough in that account this week.
Yep.
Push harder next week. And so that cycle, that sort of quick feedback of like, that didn't work, that wasn't good, push harder, do it again the next week, has been really effective for me. To the extent that like we're finally like I've been all year, so all calendar year, we've been hitting sort of 89-90% of revenue target, which is great. But our, you know, technically our profit target is 10%. So it's kind of like, it's not, the maths don't work like this, but it's kind of like I'm undershooting my revenue target by about the 10% of profit.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that maths doesn't check out. But finally just last week broke past 91%, like having just never quite got there, like for months and months and months. It's like, woo, I'm at 93% now. It's like, cool, I can see, like, and I just keep a simple spreadsheet of, like, every time I do distribution, I just copy those values out of my little calculator thing and chuck them in for the week so I can see it tracking. And it's just, yeah, it's all simple stuff, but super effective at keeping me accountable to myself. Like, yeah, and just trusting the system.
So I will, by the time this is up, we can stop ranting on our... I'm sure the people that don't want to hear this are like, all right, I'm done.
All right.
I will make a simple page on our website and link it that has, like, just some helpful stuff, including the... I think what's really helpful, I'll try to find a way to strip kind of what I don't want to share necessarily out of, like, how I track stuff and how I'm... It's just a Google sheet, and it has how I keep track of each of the categories, and then it's just a way to keep, like, I think it's just helpful rather than having to look at the bank account, and like you're saying, it's like that mental process. And then I keep track of how much quarterly profits and what I do with it, and then I keep track of when I change the percentages. It's just very basic. It's not like a lot of automated stuff at all, but I think it's really helpful to, like, see the changes over time. And it was really helpful then to give that to the Sim Theory assistant as, like, here's what I've done and here's where I'm trying to go. And it was really nice. Like, capable of advising me, which was great. Because I was like, who else am I going to find? There are like professionals that have signed up, like accountants and such, to be profit first professionals, which is funny. You can, like, find on the Profit First website if you want that kind of assistance. But basically, my Sim Theory assistant is that for me.
How much briefing did you do on that? Like, how much context building did you do in that assistant to make it useful?
I spent maybe, like, half an hour total building it up. And a lot of that was, like, I had, which is, this is kind of great now. It's like a kind of a watershed moment of I've used both Sim Theory and GPT over time to talk about all these things, and I had GPT dump everything it knew about Profit First that I've told it, and, like, what I've done with it to copy that over, and it was actually quite a bit and quite useful, as well as, like, I've had a lot of discussion about buying the UMC with it, of planning and pricing and budgeting. And so then I could take a lot of that, have some chat with something, I forget which one it was, probably like Sonnet somewhere, and say, all right, combine this into advice for an assistant, you know, have the snake in its tail a few times.
Yep.
So it,
yeah, sweet.
It's honestly what basically I hear you do all the time. I don't make a lot of specific assistance, and I think it is super useful for this kind of thing where this is its purpose. And then what's cool is I can just go, all right, here's how it's gone. Do I need to adjust anything? And even to the point of, like, I could probably dump out all my transactions out of Mercury and just go, here's what's happened, you know, since we talked. But for right now, I know where I'm trying to get to, and it feels comfortable.
Great. Yeah. Have you fed it any spreadsheets of, like, where you're at?
Yeah. No, because I set it up. I haven't made it through a full month yet, but the transit, like, why I feel so good about it is each month I've been hitting, or each week I've been hitting targets of what the revenue needs to be for the percentages to work out. And what's
sick
fun about that is, like, this is one of the cooler parts. Like, you've been doing better, right, too. It's like our revenue is up this year, which means I pay myself more because there's more in the account for myself based on a percentage. The bonus goes up. The, like, what I'm hoping to see, which I haven't really had a lot of over time, with the past OPEX being too large, was I wasn't building up extra in a lot of the accounts. And I want to see, like, multiple months of, like, runway on payroll, on lease. And that's still been too tight. And I'm hoping to come out of this.
Interesting. Yeah.
Anyway, we should move on.
Yep, I could talk about it all day. Cool.
What was the last?
Well, thanks for the question, Eric. I hope that was useful.
Yes.
Tell me about your vice. Got any vices, Justin?
This little guy? This is not the same one. This is my desk.
Oh, your little
vice.
Baby one. You've got a desk vice. It's cute. It's about the size of the one I've got.
Yeah, so we found out we have the same brand of vice bought from different places, but I mentioned it on the show, I think last week. It's called Dian Jin. I'm probably not saying that right. I put a link to it, but I got it off of a seller on eBay from Amish friend that has a machine shop in Canada, and he had bought a bunch of these. They're Lang copies, basically, in appearance, and I don't know how accurate they are at this point. I can't say that these are rock solid, but like I said before, my goal is to have something that I can maybe make a mistake and machine into if I've programmed wrong, and it's not a $1,600 vice. So $400-ish, and of course the tariffs are making that confusing now. But I put a link to it if you're interested. I had a few people reach out last time. It's basically why I'm bringing it up again about what that was.
Yeah. So. I bought a baby one when we got the robots, and I've always wanted one of those self-centering, what I see as like big boy five-axis vices. And I bought it on AliExpress, which is like impossible to tell what you're buying sometimes. And it's like tiny little vice came in the mail.
Did you know it was going to be that small?
No, I had no idea. It's like it's 2 inches by 2 inches, maybe. I think it can only grip a 2-inch part maximum. And it's only that wide as well. Anyway, I mounted it on the fixture table for Abe, the robot that's got the spindle, HSD spindle on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks ridiculous under this enormous 6-axis robot, this baby little vice. But I have legitimately used it on a few little jobs, and it's awesome. Seems great. Build quality is great.
Yeah.
I hope to do more with it. And maybe I'll just buy another one so I can rack them up in parallel and clamp longer things in there.
You can swap the vices out. Get them to 0 point
into my MDF table. Yeah.
That's right. Just slam it down. I'm trying to figure out what my capability is. It's it says 120 by 170 by 77.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
It's kind of like a 4-inch vice, maybe a little bit larger. Yeah.
John, in his messing around with multi-axis machining, has been using a lot of the Saunders superglue technique, actually, but on timber, like putting masking tape on our MDF fixture table, masking tape on the part, and just supergluing them together and having, pretty good results. It's never really occurred to me to do that with timber parts, but it's actually kind of great.
It is. We've never had one fail. Not that we do it extensively, but... It's really good for one-offs or like weird things that you can't work hold or you didn't have fang clamps before. Ding!
Everything's changed. Ding!
Even with clamps, though, sometimes we do two methods and the tape being kind of an insurance.
Nice.
I'd say the one thing with timber or wood super glue and tape is you kind of want to think about how you're going to release it. And that's usually like making a pocket underneath one side of your part so that you can pry underneath it. Because otherwise you basically have to like jam into something to make a separation.
Yeah.
It does stay down pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Nice. Cool, man.
Someone else asked a question, I feel like.
No, we don't. There's no fixed, Nothing in concrete yet, but we've had email from the local council sort of suggesting that our planning permit for the new shed build is A-okay. We don't have a planning permit yet, but we do have a sense that it's probably going to go ahead.
Did you have to hire an architect for that?
No. The company that's building the shed have an in-house sort of drafting person, planning person, who's just handling all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
But I've had a few conversations lately with people, and when I've said that we're trying to do this in 100 square meters, they're like, you're crazy. No way. You can't do that. Which is both...
Makes me want to do it more, usually.
I was going to say, it's made me fearful, but it's also made me like quietly like, I'll show you.
Shakes fist. Yeah, for sure. Interesting. That's good. I was going to make it. Well, I will make the joke now. Now it seems like this is going to work out if a bag full of money ends up under the council's table, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't played that card. Good idea.
Would you like really nice shelving units in your house?
For your offices? Yeah. Can help you with that. Cool, man.
Here's what I want to know. What would you make first on your brand new UMC?
Gosh, I've thought about this in the past when I've fantasized about getting one of those machines. I would make... See, I know the answer. I would make a table leg junction. It's probably a bit ambitious for a first part, but a bit of billet machined into like a nice profile, blah, 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 with a thread, a female thread on an angle coming out of the top of it, so that I could thread a bit of a timber leg into it. That's what I'd make.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I've been thinking, and I'm not going to spend too much time thinking about this, but there needs to be a benchy for five axis. Yeah.
That's something that PDX would do.
I don't know what. Like, what would that shape be? A snowman? Because it's not just a boat. That was intended specifically for like testing accuracy and like droop of the filament and.
Like, isn't the five-axis benchy like a
cube
honeycomb skateboard?
That sounds easy. Yeah, let's do that for our first part. Sure.
Yeah, cool.
I don't know. Let me know. Oh, I do intend... My next YouTube video I'm intending to make, just been stressed, is going to be about the finances of getting this machine landed. I do have more information that has changed since I made the first video. All the other ways I'm bleeding money. So... that's my intent of the next video. I don't know when. Hopefully by next week.
Cool. Nice.
I was hoping for weekly videos, and I was like, oh, I don't know where that's going to happen this week.
Yeah. I mind that my little robot updates have dropped off a little bit as well. I just forget about it. Just droop, goes. Not on my radar.
I remember I've remembered a capture often. Like, I have so many beginnings of videos of things from the years through. It's like I have like...
yeah.
Gigabytes of videos that just ends up on my phone or like somewhere on a hard drive, and it's like, well, I don't know. Don't know where that went. Anyway.
Yeah.
Need to go. Short day.
Cool.
See you, man.
Thanks, Ming. Good chat. Bye.